Maundy Thursday offers an embarrassment of riches to the preacher. You know, if we just mention briefly some of the main events of that night, there are plenty. It's the night on which Jesus eats the Passover with his disciples and institutes the Lord's Supper. He teaches his disciples, he prays for them, he washes their feet. He agonizes in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's betrayed by a kiss. His disciples flee, and Peter denies him three times. Before dawn, he's tried by the high priest. So many passages of scripture and scenes could be chosen. So I want to think with you briefly this evening about the story of Easter and of Maundy Thursday in particular as the tale of two cups. Two cups. Jesus speaks of the cup he must drink in the Garden of Gethsemane. He also gives his disciples a cup of wine to drink in the Last Supper. So I want to consider those two different cups. One which Jesus drinks and one which he gives his disciples to drink. Each has a background in the Old Testament. Cups in the Bible can speak of suffering or of salvation, of wrath or of rejoicing. They can stand for punishment or for blessing. Sometimes you can be given something pleasant to drink or something horrible to drink. And the effects of that drink can be happy. It can gladden your heart, or it can be ruinous. So let's think first of all about that unpleasant cup of curse and judgment. In the Old Testament, the Psalms and the prophets speak both of God's people and of the nations being forced to drink the cup of God's wrath to the dregs. Sometimes it's described as a particularly large and deep cup. It will make those who drink from it drunk. They'll reel and stagger. Sometimes they'll even vomit and be naked and fall so as never to rise. This cup brings scorn and derision, ruin and sorrow and desolation. That's the first cup. The cup of God's wrath. It's that cup which Jesus chooses to drink in Gethsemane. Jesus knew that he was heading for the cross, a deliberately terrible and degrading death that was intended to humiliate and deter. And Jesus didn't just fear the physical torture of that death. After all, many people had been crucified. Perhaps some of them with great courage. So if that was all that Jesus' cross involved, it wasn't so very remarkable. No, Jesus faced something more, something unique. In the garden, he's sorrowful and troubled, and he says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." He prays, "Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. In a sense, I really don't want to go through with this," he says. But there is no other way. So Jesus is obedient to the Father. He willingly takes that cup of God's wrath and drinks it all down. Jesus' death was absolutely essential. It was the supreme reason why he came. It was the eternal plan of God the Father and God the Son. And as Jesus hangs on that cross, thirsting, it turns dark in the middle of the day, a sign of God's curse, just like one of the plagues on Egypt. And Jesus cries out, "My God, why have you forsaken me? Perhaps many people would think that a small thing, but Jesus has always only known his Father's smile, and now he experiences his frown. He is cut off that we might be brought near. He is forsaken that we might join the family. He takes the pain and bears the wrath, and we stand forgiven at the cross. In his infinite person, Jesus takes the full penalty for sin for all his people. The hell we deserve spends itself on him. He takes the awful penalty of sin for all who will trust in him. And so as Jesus dies, the cup of God's wrath is finished, drained to the dregs. Jesus drinks every last drop of it for us. It makes him sadder and real. He's naked and publicly shamed. But of course, he will rise again. He will overcome. Death and hell can't finish Jesus. He puts an end to them. The cup is empty. But there is another cup, a very different one. A wonderful cup of salvation and blessing and goodness and joy, of which the Bible also speaks. The psalmist says that the Lord himself is his present portion and cup. In the psalm which we stand, the Lord prepares a feast before his servant, and his cup overflows with blessings from God. Or in the psalm which we read, in gratitude for deliverance, the psalmist says, I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. As Jesus faces the cup of God's wrath in the garden, he's already enjoyed a cup of wine with his friends in the upper room. Together they celebrated the Passover, feasting to remember God rescued his people from slavery. And Jesus has given his disciples a cup of wine to drink, giving thanks and saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on, until the day when I drink it anew in my Father's kingdom. Jesus bids us come and drink this wine, and rejoice in the forgiveness of sins which his blood has brought for us, and the new covenant which he has established. Jesus drinks the cup of wrath so that we don't have to. Instead, he offers us a cup that speaks of forgiveness and of God's indissoluble commitment to us. And so we're commanded to drink the cup of wine in the presence of the risen Jesus. This communion is a foretaste of the heavenly wedding supper of the Lamb, when we will celebrate the consummation of all things. That first cup of wrath drained means a cup filled with good things for us. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says that the cup of blessing which we bless in communion is a participation in the blood of Christ. As we eat and drink in faith, we appropriate Jesus and his benefits on which we depend. So the story of Easter, the story of the Bible, is a story of two cups. The cup of wrath and the cup of blessing. A terrible cup of suffering and a wonderful cup of salvation. Jesus drank the cup of God's wrath to the dregs for all who are trusting him, that we might enjoy the cup of salvation and blessing. Let us lift up this cup of thanksgiving in the name of the Lord, and renew our covenant commitment to him, until the day when we drink it afresh in the fullness of his kingdom. Cheers. Amen.